ever use the word hope and we casually throw it out there like, I hope it's a nice day today. I hope it's not too hot or too cold or too much rain. Or I hope my pizza delivery person gets here on time today. Or I hope my, you know, come on. You know, we throw that word out a lot without recognizing that it goes much deeper. Because some of you today are experiencing not hopefulness, but hopelessness, feeling pretty overwhelmed. And here's a fact, God loves you. His hope is limitless. And for his children, for those of us who are followers of Christ, even though we don't feel it, it's still real. Just like you see your kids or grandkids sometimes, you know, they get frustrated with you and they maybe think, I hate you and I don't like, and yet you're still there and you're stable and they're going around with all of their emotions and you're still there as a mom or dad. And that's how God is. He's permanent. He's there. He loves us. He must smile at sometimes with our lack of really experiencing hope, because hope is something that we can experience. In fact, my lesson for this month from Intentional Living has been on this topic of experiencing hope, because it's a limitless supply, and yet so few of us really experience it at its depth. So I decided earlier in the week and again today just to hear stories of hope, scriptures of hope, people sharing their hope stories, so we can kind of get energized again, maybe feeling more hopeful in these next 25 minutes or so. Dr. Randy here at Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Steven and Gino on Facebook, all of our Facebook friends. Thank you for joining us here in our Intentional Living studio as well. If you have a comment for our storyline, we have all the calls we need for the radio, but for our comment line, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. All right. Let's get started here on the phone with Kim. Kim, are you there in Georgia?
Yes.
There we go. Thank you for joining us. What's your hope story today?
Mom, I am homeless right now, and I, my friend and I are. We're going to church tonight. I invited her. We met. And she said that she had prayed and she really wanted to go to church. And I invited her to church. So, but the shelter that I have been staying in, they said, you cannot go because you're not here at 6. I said, so I can't go at Sunday night and Wednesday night to church. I can't go. I said, I really need to be there. You know, I have a hunger for God and I just know that God wants me there. So I asked God to provide me a way, show me a way, give me shelter, you know, just while I'm looking for a job and, you know, get a little bit of stability. And so I was driving down the road, and as soon as I asked God to provide me shelter, does he want me to go to church with my, you know, bring my friend that desperately wants to go? She's going through a lot, and we both are. And do you want me to go? Will you provide shelter for me? And as soon as I said that, on a church sign, it said, God will do it. And I just, it felt like confirmation, and I felt like, thank you, Jesus, you know, because this is a big decision. I mean, to put God first. I know he says put him first. You know, he will take care of everything. You just have to put him first. So
Are you finding shelter? Did you find are you in a place now where you can have shelter and be involved in your church?
This is happening today. I make the decision, do I go to church tonight and take my friend? Do we go to church or do I go to the shelter? If I don't go to the shelter, I can't come back. So I'm going to church. I'm putting God first. I'm trusting that he will provide a way. And when I see that sign, God will do it. I feel like he's saying he's going to take care of me. That's my hope.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that's faith, but the reality of needing a shelter and a place to go. Listen, friends in Georgia, Kim needs prayer, but also needs a place, needs shelter. And she's making a decision. She wants her friend to come to church and know about Jesus. That's powerful. Let me just pray, Lord. I know my prayer is for someone thousands of miles away from where I'm sitting right now. I just pray you open a door, an amazing way to help this lady and her faith, and not only for shelter, but for a job and for a hope and a future, as you promise. And we commit her to you in this day to you. Amen. I need a break, and I'll be back.
I just totally agree with the whole hope and faith riding together as sisters. My husband and I, we've gone through quite a bit together. And we both realize that the more we let ourselves go and we stop trying to be what God wanted us to be, if we would just seek Him, He would make us what He wants us to be. And so we wouldn't be living a defaulted life. So hope comes in realizing that you can't fly on your own. You have to let the Holy Spirit fly through you. And that's when you lose yourself and you find Christ. So to anyone going through something out there, there is hope. It's called realizing you can't do it on your own. Let Jesus.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know what? I hope you'll do that today. And I thank those of you who are praying for us and humbly supporting the ministry. We appreciate it that we can be here on the radio and through our podcast and the things we do every day. If you'd like to know more about what is an intentional life in Christ, it's not about perfection. It's about how we live. It's a choice. God does the saving, but we got to do the living, how we live. To really experience hope, it's a decision. You don't just step into a pit of hope. It's a decision you have to make to experience it. And if you're not experiencing it today, it's real. And we, in the teaching this month, I go through the 10 scriptures that help us learn to experience this hope more intentionally in our life. If you'd like to know more about intentional living, go to theintentionallife.com and information there, archive of our programs, and so on. Okay? And continue to pray for Kim and maybe we can help her connect with somebody that can help her find some resources in where she lives in Georgia. All right, let's go to Benna is next in Kansas. Hey, Benna, how are you today?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
As far as how I am today, I'm getting better. I woke up today with a major case of the blues, the glooms, and thought, and I got to find some scripture that's going to get me through this day. And the one that came to mind was, my hope comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to focus on that. We had a wonderful weekend. We renewed our wedding vows. We had a great party. And so when I woke up today, I thought, you know, I am so tired of being strong. Somebody needs to lift me up and hold me up. And I know that God is the only one that can do that.
Yeah.
So that's my prayer for today is that.
How long you been married, Benna?
28 years.
28 years.
28 years.
And you know, it's, well, congratulations on that. You know, it's a reminder too, God is our ultimate hope. But that's why friendships are important too. And church fellowship is important and having connections. And in our marriage, we need to be able to lift each other up. That's biblical, isn't it? God designed for us to be within community. And so I tell people, I don't know your situation, but all situations, that if we can be connected into a Bible-believing, teaching church, be in a small group, get connected in a place where people are going to lift you up. And frankly, if you're in a place where you're not being encouraged, you're not in a place where there's a lot of love going on, get out of there and find a place where, no, there's no perfect place, by the way, but find a place where God's intentional love is just obvious, it's flowing. And as you gain encouragement in your own life to be lifted up, you can share that, pay it forward to other people. Hey, Benna, I'm glad you're listening in Kansas. Let me encourage you to continue to listen to the Family Life radio station. And I say that because I know 24 hours a day, the middle of the night, middle of the afternoon, middle of the morning, you can turn that on and you're going to have hopeful music. You're going to be lifted. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to hear others, brothers and sisters in Christ, telling their stories. And that's why we're here, to encourage you. All right. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate your call. Pray for her today. All right. We're talking about hope today and the power of hope. Let's go to Brittany, also in Kansas. Tell us, Brittany, how has hope impacted your life?
Well, almost 6 months ago, I was helping my husband build a house that we are building, our like future home, and I fell through the rafters
and
I landed on a concrete retaining wall that was built below. And my husband called the ambulance instantly because I stood up, but I shouldn't have. And I was in so much pain, and they rushed me to the hospital, and come to find out that the type of fall I had, the doctor and the nurse both made comments to me and my husband and our family in the trauma room that they were really surprised that I didn't have more extensive injuries, and that if I had landed 6 inches higher up on my back, that I could have even broken it or, you know, something serious like death.
Yeah.
And where the hope comes in is, just getting to be here and surviving a fall like that has been a super emotional for me. And it's changed my walk with Christ to something much, much greater than I ever could have imagined. But also the healing process for that has been difficult. From my waist down, I was severely bruised and I had a hard time walking. And even though it was almost 6 months ago, my muscles still don't do what they used to be able to do. And sometimes it's frustrating because you don't know the blessing of being able to do things on your own until sometimes you can't. But knowing, I pray every day as that pain starts to set in, and, you know, I remember that the Lord has good plans for us, Jeremiah 29:11, and I just keep that hope that He created my muscles and He created me for greatness, and that He's going to continue that work of healing in my muscles and in my body from that fall.
Powerful story. Thank you for taking time, Brittany, to share that with us, also from Kansas today, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen to that. All right, let me go to Steve, who's on the line in Colorado. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Hi. Just one second. Let me take this off speaker. I'm driving. Just one second, Randy. Please.
All right. Then that'll be better. Yeah. In fact, that's a good idea when you all call. If you get off the speakerphone, we can hear you better. Yeah. All right. Go right ahead, Steve.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just want to give all the praise, all the glory to God in everything I do. You know, I'm a living, walking testimony of, and I'll tell my testimony real quick here. I won't be too lengthy.
We're having a little bit of dropout on the signal. We want to make sure we hear it. So we'll wait till you get to a good spot, and then Steve, maybe we can get him back on the air. Okay. All right. Let me see next to Carrie. Carrie in New Mexico. What would you like to share today?
Okay. So I just wanted to share a little message of hope.
Sure.
My husband and I got married when we were very young. We were 18. And right away, I wanted to have babies, and he was very much against it because we were so young. So I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to just work on his heart, change him, make him want to have babies, because that's, you know, the desire that was in my heart. And about a year ago, he decided that he was ready to have kids, and so we tried and tried for 8 months, and through this time, I just felt like it wasn't going to happen, and I just felt like I was trying to make it happen in my own time, and I wasn't really relying on God. The entire month of July, I decided, okay, I'm just going to take a break from trying to make anything happen. I'm just going to talk to God and let him know that I'm giving it all to him and that I'm just not going to worry about it anymore, because I felt like that's really what I was doing, is more or less stressing over it than being excited and just kind of enjoying the process. And we ended up getting pregnant.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're about 6 weeks long right now.
Wow.
But I just wanted to just share that because I feel like there are so many people out there that just, they try to do things in their own timing and they try to just make things happen instead of really just leaning on God and letting him do what he already has planned for you.
Yeah. Well, that's really hard to do, isn't it, Carrie? I mean, we share that scripture about all things work together for good to those who've been called according to his purposes, and understanding that there's some prerequisites there. It's his plan, not ours, according to his plan, his timetable, not ours. And if we're living according to his purposes, and so we can't just sit in a corner and wait, you know, we got to be, make sure we're living our lives, as we say, intentionally. That's our kind of our focus here. When we live intentionally in Christ and then really give God the total control of what the outcome's going to be, because ultimately it's in his hands. All right, let's see here. Steve, if we got a better signal than before. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, terrific. Go right
ahead.
Can
you hear me?
Yes, yes, go right ahead.
All right, this is just a shout-out for all the glory and all the honor and everything good in this world to our Heavenly Father and how good he is. And my story is real quick story, but I'll share my testimony. I was a sinner, a horrible man, always unfaithful, always doing something no good. If you want to talk about the prodigal son, that was me. And I remember I was going through a horrible situation, and I thought I couldn't get out of the situation. It had to deal with a lot of stuff that was out of my control. But the bottom line is, I was so broken that, Randy, I was actually giving my stuff away, because I was just thinking, how can I end my life? I was at that point in my life, you know, what am I going to do here? Lost, broken, everything. I was giving all my possessions away. I didn't care. What happened is he came into my life. I prayed one day. I said, "Dear Lord, please help me." Right before that, a friend of mine said, "Hey, you want to go elk hunting in Colorado? Would you take me elk hunting?" I said, "Sure, I'll take you elk hunting." An old veteran. I said, "I'll take you hunting." So I took him way up in the middle of nowhere on the Wyoming border. And we're up there, and some said, "Hey, stop the truck." So we stopped the truck, and he was driving. And some said, "Go to the top of the mountain. Go to the top of the mountain." And so I start walking up the mountain, and I'm praying, you know, not complaining, just thanking him for everything in my life. And in the middle of nowhere, I finished praying. I said, "In Jesus' name." And I looked up, and I ran right into a tree, an aspen tree that somebody carved probably 30 years ago, the name Jesus, and about long ways in that tree. Only tree in there, you guys. Please understand, it's just amazing that was there. Well, I come back down and was thinking, oh my goodness, you know. So I come to find out, I came home a day early, computers up on my home, found out all kinds of stuff that was going on. I was like, oh my goodness, he revealed that to me, right? And God protected me through that all. I went on a date. I said, well, I'm going to find a wife, you know. So I went on a couple of dates and, you know, no luck. And I finally went into my living room and I said, "Dear Lord," I said, "please help me find the woman I'm supposed to be with." Well, the next day, guess who I ran into? The woman of my dreams, right? I mean, she wasn't a believer at the time, but boy, she's a believer now, and we may form a team. We have a ministry now, and we reach out to people all the time on things. He is so good. He is so good. He is so good.
Mm. Brother, thank you for sharing your story. God is good. He takes us, he allows us to go into the pits, and then he is there to help us get out of the pits and so we can live intentionally in him. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
This was Lynn in Lubbock. There's always hope because there's always God. I think it's in Psalm 31 where God says he holds our time, and in the past where I've never given up. That's pretty much what I needed to do anyway, was just to give up. I got to the point where that's all I could do anyway, and when I finally did, he took over. So there's always hope because there's always God. Thank you.
Lamentations 3:25, it says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him." And I thought I'd close with that, that the ultimate thing is seeking Him. Developing a craving for God, as I put this down. It's really a habit. We've talked about habit formation before, and we know that habits only become permanent in our life when they're attached to a craving. We know this psychologically, that without a craving, you can't develop a habit. Probably very few of you have a habit of broccoli. Any of you just have a deep craving that you wake up at 3 a.m. needing broccoli? No. No. I always joke about 10 o'clock at night, ready to go to bed, it's time to have a bowl of cereal. Just time of day, it's 10 o'clock, cereal time. You know, hello. But you ever notice that? There's certain things that sets out moods, times of day, people, words, lots of situations that can set off a habit. Can we develop a craving for Christ? That's the question. That's an excerpt from the lesson this month on how to experience hope. What does the Bible teach about experiencing hope and the power of experiencing hope in Him? All right. Speaking of that, let's go to Robert, who wants to share with us from New Mexico today. Robert, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, and I just wanted to say, you know, how God just gives us so much hope, you know, however, of course, you know, with us as being, you know, people of free will, that God allows us to do all things. However, you know, one thing is I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 through 13. And it says, "Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands to take heed, lest he fall."
Amen.
"No tent has overtaken you, except such as in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it." And with that being said, you know, giving us that type of belief and faith in Him, saying that He is faithful and that He's always there, is what makes us have that hope within ourselves. You know, and in my past life, before I came to Christ, you know, I was an addict for over 11 years, and He just broke those chains. And every day I've just literally been just saying these verses every single day till finally it just set me free.
Amen. What do you say? What do you say, Robert, to someone listening today who's in that pit of addiction to a substance or whatever it is? You've been there. You know how low you can go. What do you say to them listening today, feeling pretty hopeless?
You know, that hopelessness will be gone, because that's just your sins, your emotions that are getting the best of you. Yet talk to God. Just talk to Him as I'm talking to you. And honestly, that's all you have to do, is talk to Him. Just pleading, you know, don't have to plead. You don't have to beg, or, you know, just surrender in obedience to Him. And from there, you can just hear the voice. You can hear something, just the Holy Spirit just come upon you and honestly set you free.
Amen. So how are you doing today, Robert?
Great. I was rock bottom, and now I am great. I walk alongside my brothers and sisters in Christ. I do fall. However, God is the one that doesn't let me hit the ground.
That's right.
He picks me right back up, because He is my firm foundation.
Amen. How long ago did you make this that decision and that transformation in your life? How long ago, Robert?
6 years ago.
So for 6 years, been clean, been growing, life been changing. How is your life different today than then?
I was homeless. Well, during my addiction time, I was actually homeless from, let's see here. Well, I was 19. From 19, I went all the way to 28, 29. I was actually 30 was the last time I actually stopped completely when I just asked God. I didn't want it anymore. I was tired. I just tired. I didn't know what I wanted in life, didn't know what I needed in life to fill that void in me. Yeah. And I just knew God was always there, and I surrendered to Him. I didn't know why. I never read scripture. I was a Catholic boy, and I didn't know anything. But once I just spoke to God, and I just said, I don't want this anymore. And from there, He placed a Bible right in my hand out of the blue. Got given a Bible, and it just went on from there. He broke those chains.
Amen. Well, I think that's a great way to wrap up a show like this today. Thank you, Robert from New Mexico. He talked about chains, and that's really maybe what you feel like when you're feeling hopeless, like the weight of this heavy chain around your shoulders and your neck and your life and dragging you down. And if you're feeling hopeless today, to know that Christ gave Himself for you and for me on the cross, He sacrificed because He knew that we would all need something more than whatever we're getting in this life to experience hope and to have eternal life in Him. And it's because of His sacrifice. Here's the hope, folks. Listen, if you're feeling hopeless today, give your life to Christ. That's the first step. Lord Jesus, I need You. Come into my life. And then begin to move in the direction of serving Him, getting involved in a church where the Bible's being taught. We know the radio will be here to support you as well. And remember what Jesus said to His disciples who were feeling pretty hopeless. I go to prepare a place for you, He says in John 14. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Jesus is preparing a place for you if you're feeling hopeless today. He loves you. But take that intentional step to turn your life to Him. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and Gino on Facebook here in our Intentional Living Center. Thanking you for being a part of the ministry and for praying for us and for your financial support. We appreciate all of it. And God bless you. And we'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.